Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We're gathering today. I'm still feeling the effects of last night. Well, I wish we could have locked those doors and kept them all here. But I guess we're going to have to do that work for ourselves. But I believe it's going to happen. What a night. Amen. But now this is a new day. Amen. Yes, we come into the house of God to worship Him. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 So let's just lift our hands right now and give Him some praise and some glory. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be in this place, Lord, this place of worship. God, that we have set aside, Lord, that we gather ourselves together. We pray, God, that You will bless each one. You will bless the speakers today. Lord, You'll bless the singing. Lord, You'll bless the music. Lord, You'll bless everything that we are doing, and everything we do indeed is in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing an old song this morning, maybe. You can be seated if you wish. Just put it on the overhead for me. Praise the Lord. Recognize this song.
Oh, Lord, my God.
I see. Can we lift him up right now? Come on, let's just take just a moment. Come on, let's worship him. Let's exalt him in this place. God, you are great. Come on, has he been good to you? Has he been great in your life? God, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise you. We lift you up today, oh God. You are truly great, Lord. You are a great God. Amen. Amen. Those words really do hit home when you talk about him gladly taking on the burden of the cross. He gladly, the scripture says he considered it joy for him to go to the cross for you and for me, a sinner such as me. God died on the cross to cover us with his blood. Thank you, God. What a great God we serve. Amen. 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 You may be seated. It is my privilege and my honor to introduce this next speaker. You know the Paris family well. If you didn't pick up on it yet, our daughter is named after the Paris family. It's because it's such a tremendous family. We are blessed. I mentioned it last night. I am blessed with a family that loves the Lord, that loves us. And you've heard Weston speak and minister here and have enjoyed him. You, of course, have heard Lauren minister and speak here and enjoyed her. I think you enjoy her more than me, which I will not take offense to, but I understand completely. But I asked my father-in-law, Keith, if he would honor us and he would come speak this first session. He is the assistant pastor of a church in Lawrenceville, according to Brother Brosom. They're from Litchfield, Illinois, and he has assisted Pastor Benthal for a number of years there. And he is a man of God. He is a studier of the Word. He is a preacher of the Word. And I am excited that he came to be with us today. So I'd like to welcome Brother Keith Paris as he ministers today. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise as he comes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I love coming to the house of the Lord, worshiping with God's people, and I'm so excited about what God's doing in Sandwich. And thank you, Pastor Johnson, for allowing us to speak today. I appreciate that honor that you have in me, that you would allow me to do that. And I'm so thankful for everyone that's here today, thankful for our families that are here. Before we get into our message, our lesson, it could be a little bit of both. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you because you're so good to us and you love us and you're mindful of us, God. You know, each and every one of us, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, our hearts and our minds, it's open before you, Lord. We thank you for your word today, God. We pray for blessings and favor on the saints here in Sandwich and everyone that's here today. We give you glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. It's anointed. Anoint my words, Lord Jesus. Help me to say the things I should say and help me not to say the things that I shouldn't. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just have one simple verse today, and it's Isaiah 61:3. And I'll just go ahead and read that. And Isaiah 61:3, it says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Aren't you thankful for the promises of the Lord today? I'm so thankful that he gives us promises and he keeps his word. I had a little title, "A Message to the Trees," a message for the trees today. Amen? And you know, we have family trees. We got some family trees in this place today, and we got our little Paris right over there. And so we can go back in our families, and I can look around this place, and I know the Kellums, what a great heritage you have here, family trees. And we look at families, and we can go back generations, and we can, I know just all the, you know, our uncles, our aunts, our grandparents, and we can list all of those. And some of them sometimes we might not even like to associate with. We wouldn't like them to be listed in our family lineage. But Jesus Christ, when they listed his family lineage, they listed everybody. They listed the women that weren't really, didn't have such a quite a good reputation. Amen. All the men that had failed, that they were listed in his lineage as well. So that just goes to show you, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. If you are in the lineage of Jesus Christ, you are mentionable. Amen. You're mentionable. I'm thankful that he loved me enough that he bled and died on the cross. I'm thankful for what he's done for our family and for our family lineage and for our heritage. And you know, when it comes to family, you can get very defensive sometimes. And and even though you might not like your family that well, there's something that just rises up in us naturally. And I can remember a time when I have a big family, a family of 12, six boys, six girls. So, you know, kind of wild at times, you know. And I remember one of my brothers, the one that's just a little bit older than me. We were small. We were probably maybe fourth or fifth grade, maybe not even that old. We lived in North St. Louis. I actually grew up in southern Missouri, Brother Kellum, not far from Gideon. Anybody ever heard of Gideon? I was born in Burney, Missouri, grew up in southeast Missouri, but a time, there you go. Some of them call it Swamp East Missouri. It can be a little bit like that sometimes when it rains. But I am so thankful, you know, that for my family. But we, at a point, we lived in North St. Louis when we were small, and we lived in these four family flats, and my brother, which is just a little bit older than me, we did not really get along. We had two different personalities. We really, really didn't like sharing a room together, and it was just kind of, sometimes we'd get in a few little fights. And I remember one day we were outside, and a neighbor boy was over. And my brother and him got into it, and that neighbor boy took him down, and he was beating him. And even though he deserved it probably, and I would have liked him had it, something in me just rose up. That blood, you're not going to beat my brother. And I looked around and I grabbed the closest thing I could. I grabbed a broomstick. And I went and began to beat that boy. And he got up off my brother and he took off running. And that's how it is sometimes in families and family trees. Amen. We get defensive about our families because we love our families, even though we may not like everything about them. That's funny, isn't it? Is he funny? I was thinking when Wes was little, and you know your kids don't do anything wrong. They just don't. And Wes was maybe third grade, and we had been out to dinner after church one evening, and the boys, some of the older boys and some of the younger boys, and Wes included, we were getting ready to leave, we're paying, they just stepped outside into the parking lot, and as soon as we got done paying, we stepped out, and the boys are out there, and this woman hits her brakes, turns around, comes back into the parking lot, and jumps out of her vehicle, and she comes straight over to Wes, and she goes, "That little boy." And I'm like, you know, so that little boy in the striped shirt, he threw a rock at my car, and that's a brand new car. I mean, and she's coming at him. I stepped up. I put my arm in front of him. I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it." And that's the way it is with family. Amen. You step up. Jesus Christ steps up, and he says, "Hey, you might have messed up. Things might not be." No, this is mine. Amen. Aren't you glad that he calls you his? Aren't you glad to be a part of the family of God? I'm so thankful for that today. And in our preparing for this message, this scripture came to me a few weeks ago, actually, not knowing I would even talk here or speak at all. And it was on my mind and heart about trees of righteousness. I couldn't get that off of my mind. And of course, praying for Lauren and Titus and little Paris. I'm so thankful that they've got the opportunity to be your pastor here and that you love them. And of course, we've been praying. We've been praying for them to get a house and all of that, and God's done it. Amen? He's done it. He's come through. I think he started working on it in November. I told my wife, I said, he's getting something ready. And so they've been working on that house since November, and they got it all brand new. So God does amazing things. But just a few weeks ago, though, my wife and I were sitting in our living room, and we'd had our devotion, and I was getting ready to leave for work, and we had prayed, but then I just said one more time, I just sat over by her, and I took her hand. I said, let's pray for the kids this morning. And we began to just say, God, you know that they need a house, and you know all the things that they need, and you've ordained and sent them to Sandwich, and we're so thankful for what you've done and for the people in Sandwich. And as we began to hold hands and pray for them, I just, for some reason, I don't mean to call anybody out necessarily, embarrass anybody, but I said, Lord, you know the duels. And when I called out your name, it's like the presence of God just swept. We were overwhelmed in that room. I said, God, you know the duels. And that's all I really could get out of my mouth. And the scripture came to my mind. I searched for a man to stand in the gap. Thank you, Brother Duel. Thank you, Sister Duel, for opening up your home. You see, you can minister and you don't need to be behind this pulpit. Many times, a lot of the best ministering is right out here on these pews. It's in this tree, in these trees, amen? It's in this forest of trees. You can minister right there, and sometimes that's the best. I'll go back to my notes now, which are kind of boring. I think this other stuff's much better, but anyway. Hey, and you can't sit in the windowsills like Eutychus, because if you look over here, remember Eutychus? He sat in the windowsill, and things got kind of long, and he got kind of sleepy, and he fell out onto the ground, and Paul had to go pray for him. But you cannot sit in these windowsills. Whoever the contractor that designed this place was, I mean, they were smart. They slanted them. Nobody's getting in these windowsills and going to sleep. If you go to sleep on the pews and you hit your head on these, then that may be a problem. But you're not going to sit in the windowsills. And so there's four points here about this scripture. I want to read it again. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, or that appoint means to ordain, or to decree something, to establish or make it law. God said, I'm making this law right now to the trees that are in Zion, unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Isn't that great? What a great exchange. The oil of the joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for the spirit of darkness, for the spirit that brings us down. That they might be called, I'm doing all this, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. They may have been called something else. Have you ever been called names? Lots of names. Names do hurt. But Jesus said right here, for all the things that you have been through, for those that mourn in Zion, for the trees in Zion, he says, I've got an exchange for you today. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen, amen, amen. So who is giving this word in this passage of Scripture? It's a preacher. It's a preacher, and of course, this scripture is about talking about Jesus Christ. It's prophetic, but who is the word for? It is for the mourners in Zion, or for the mourners in Jerusalem, or for the mourners in Sandwich. And what is he saying? He says, I've come to comfort the mourners. I've come to comfort the mourners. And what is the outcome of the word? Isaiah 61:3 is the outcome of the word. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. Let's clap unto the Lord. Amen. So who gives the word and how is he described? Of course, we know that the prophet Isaiah is speaking of a prophetic word in reference to Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is reading this very same passage in the synagogue. And he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This very day. So thankful for that. The word comes from the one that said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And those of us that have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have been baptized in Jesus' name have the Spirit of God in us. Amen. And we have been given the authority to minister in His name. Amen. That same Spirit. We, through the power of the Holy Ghost, are sent to bind up the brokenhearted. We have a job to do. We've been sent to bind up the brokenhearted. We can't do it ourselves. But through the power and the authority of His name, we can with confidence minister to the brokenhearted. Amen. Those that have been bruised. That's what brokenhearted means. Bruised by life's circumstances. And those that have been crushed. I would imagine if I took a show of hands today, you could talk about some times that some of you have been bruised in here. You had some bruises and you've been crushed a few times by some situations in life. I know the one today that has come to mend those things. Amen. Don't you know Him today? Psalms 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh. And if you look up that word nigh, it means He's near kin. He's near kin. He's near kin unto them that are of a broken or a bruised or a crushed heart. He saves or He rescues those that have a contrite spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad for a Savior today? A broken heart means to be crushed or have emotional pain. So Jesus Christ, we see that He is the speaker, and if He says He will comfort us in times of a broken heart, then we can rest assured that we will be comforted. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for being the comforter and for sending the comforter. So who is the one that comes to comfort the mourners? He is described first as a preacher, as a messenger. And that you look up a preacher, and it says messenger, and it all says rosy and cheerful. Rosy and cheerful. And I hope that I'm a rosy and cheerful messenger today to those that sit here on these pews today. He's come to preach good tidings. Amen. This preacher has come to preach good tidings. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And that word meek, and you know the scripture says that Jesus was meek and lowly, but there's a different translation for the word meek here. Now, meek and lowly for Jesus is different, but in this one it says that it is those that are depressed in mind, or especially the saints. God has come into this place today to minister to family, to those that are near kin to Him, amen, to those that have been oppressed and depressed in Zion. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we've got some problems in Zion, that we have some mourners in Zion, but God wrote this scripture because He knew there would be some mourning in Zion, amen. He knew there would be some losses in some times in our life, and I'm so thankful for that today.
Running out of water. I better open this one because praise break, water break, whatever you want to call it. I could just dump it on my head. I had one of our pastors did that one time. Kind of funny. But I won't. I'll try not to do that today.
Remember the kind of preacher that Jesus was. There never was a man that spoke like Him. He was one that brought consolation. Amen. He was a consoler of individuals who had broken hearts and had been bruised. It was said of Him, the scripture says, a bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench. He was gentleness Himself. Amen. He was gentle. Aren't you thankful for a gentle Savior? I'm so glad when I messed up, He didn't beat me up, Brother Johnson. But with a still small voice, He'd come to me and say, why don't you make that right? Why don't you make that? I'm so thankful that He didn't throw me away. A bruised reed may be damaged, but it isn't irreparable. A
smoldering wick may just be ready to go out and be put out, but it can be reignited. Amen. I'm speaking to trees in Zion today. Amen. And when Jesus saw the widow of Nain, he saw a bruised reed whose son had died. And the Bible says he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. And her son was raised from the dead. And he saw another bruised reed, the woman with the issue of blood. As she touched him, she was healed. Amen. And she was made whole. And another bruised reed, when this Jesus, the preacher, showed up at Jairus' house, and he no longer mourned over his dead daughter. He had been mourning over her. But because Jesus touched her, she lived. Amen. And to the demoniac that cut himself and was bound by chains, when he saw Jesus afar off and he came and he worshiped him and he fell down and began to worship Jesus, no 2,000 demons or how many there are could hold him. When we begin to worship him and fall down and give him praise and honor and glory, he will deliver us. Amen. He saw a smoldering flax when he looked at that demoniac. A light that had almost gone out. A fire that had almost gone out. But there was hope. Amen. There's hope today for all of us that sit on these pews today. By his stripes we're healed. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And he's able now with the word to heal our diseases. Whatever they may be, whether they're spiritual or physical. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up the wounds. Amen. And if he knows the number of the stars and he calls them by name, how much more does he know each and every one that sits on these pews today? He knows your hearts. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And he still loves us. In spite of it all, he still loves us. And if all that wasn't enough, the next thing the scripture calls him a liberator. He's a liberator. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amen. Amen. No matter what seems to hold you and bind you today, it cannot keep you when you begin to run and praise the Lord and give yourself, give it all to him. Every devil, every demon in hell has to flee when we begin to worship Jesus Christ. Amen. And there were many in Israel that had lost everything. They were in debt, and they had lost everything that they had. They lost their homes. They lost their jobs. They had no way to make a living. But when the year of Jubilee came around, they would hear the blast of the horn, and that was a sound that declared freedom. What a beautiful sound that is. What a beautiful sound that is. And every Israelite that was in debt or in bondage was made free. It was a sound of freedom for those that had lost their lands and their homes. Now they could go back and reclaim that land. Amen. Anything that you may lose, God can replace it and he can give you more. Amen. Jesus has come to declare the year of Jubilee for those that have been bankrupt. Whether it's bankrupt in sin or any other way, Jesus can make it all right. Amen. None can be held in captivity when Jesus declares them to be free. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There was a story about, a test they had done to try to trap monkeys. Water break. And so they put fruit or some type of food in this box. You probably heard it, Brother Johnson. And so they would entice the monkey to come, and there was a hole that was big enough for him to put his hand in. But when he would grab the piece of fruit or the food, he would clench it like this, and he would try to get out of the box. But he couldn't get out because he was holding on to the thing that he wanted so badly. And all he had to do was just release his hand and he could be free. But he wanted to hold on to that thing. And God is a liberator today. When we release whatever we're trying to hold on to, whether it's hurts or past defeats, whatever it may be, when we release that unto him, we take it to the deliverer, to the liberator. Amen. And he liberates us. He that the Son hath made free is free indeed. Jesus has come to declare that year of Jubilee. And surely if the Savior has the power as the text declares, to proclaim liberty to the captive. And if he can break open prison doors and set free those that are convicted and the condemned, he is just the one who can comfort the soul, your soul and mine, those that mourn in Zion. Amen. Amen. And secondly, to those, who is this word spoken? It's spoken to those that are in Zion. He appoints and gives comfort to the mourners, the church in Zion. What is he saying? He makes some promises to the mourners, for he promises beauty for ashes. I've never seen ashes that are beautiful. Never seen any ashes that are beautiful. And they represent ruin and destruction. And I think that probably all of us have some ashes in our life here today. We could go and pull out some things and it would just be ashes. But they represent ruin and destruction. Once something has been brought to ashes, you can't put it back together. You take a piece of furniture and you burn that down to ashes, there is no hope. But in Jesus Christ, he says, I'm giving you something beautiful. They would put ashes on their head in mourning of their how their heart was to the Lord, how they weren't right. It would show how they were. He said, I'm giving you beauty. And it says that that is a beautiful headdress. Wipe off the ashes and put on the beautiful headdress. He says that we can take our mind and we can have it transformed by renewing our mind through his word. Amen. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Beauty for ashes when we submit ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Revelations 21:5 says this, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. All things new. I don't care about the mistakes. I don't care whatever happened. All the ashes. He says, I make all things new. And he said this, write this down. Write it down. I make all things new. Amen. For these words are trustworthy and they are true. If you're sitting in this place today and you need a healing of any kind in your mind, in your heart, in your body, he makes all things new. Amen. The preacher that preached this message, he makes all things new today, Jesus Christ. He doesn't stop at beauty for ashes. He gives the oil of joy for mourning. First beauty and then an unction of the Holy Ghost. How awesome is that? Those of us who have the Holy Ghost residing in us have an unction and an anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. You remember the oil which was poured on Aaron's head and went down to the skirts of his garment? So that same oil it went all the way down to his skirts from his head. It is the same spirit that rests in each and every believer in this house. Have you been filled with his spirit? The spirit of Jesus Christ. What favor he has on us that are just made out of dust. Instead of mourning, we have a comforter. And then still a greater promise is the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are no garments, no clothing that is more gorgeous than the garments of praise. You walk into this place and you begin to lift him up and begin to praise him. There is something that turns around. That oil that begins to flow. And the Spirit of God begins to flow. And he changes everything. Amen. And after all this, that ye shall be called the trees of oaks. Oaks, that's a strong tree of righteousness. The planting of the Lord that he might be glorified. That's what it's all about. And after all the storms and the disappointments, after the ashes in the morning and after the fires of life and the high destructive winds come trees of righteousness. Amazing, isn't it, that God can take something that's ruin and ashes and make it something great and righteous. Amen. Trees, that's talking about being grounded, strong trees, all that he may be glorified. So for those that mourn in Zion today, here's a word for you. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy, because I will rise again. I will rise again. Don't rejoice over anything in my life that may seem like a failure or a defeat, enemy, because I will rise again. God is bringing something out of the ashes today. He's reaching down in and he's creating something beautiful out of the ashes. And here's another word for the trees of righteousness. Are any of you in deep trouble? You ever been in deep trouble? Very deep trouble, whether that's financially, physically, with individual in a relationship, deep trouble. Scripture says this, when thou passest through the waters, there's going to be some water. He said, but when you pass through water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Trees of righteousness, amen, that are called to his purpose. Are you persecuted today? Here's a word of encouragement for you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Anybody ever been falsely accused? I know we have. I have. I know my wife has, just recently. As a matter of fact, I said, here's a scripture for you, honey. It says, when men shall revile you and persecute you, they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. They're going to say things that aren't true. For my sake, he said, rejoice. Rejoice. We sometimes forget to rejoice. We get down in the mully grubs about it all, and we can get angry at those that are accusing us falsely. But here is the remedy for that. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Great is your reward in heaven. So whatever your circumstances are today, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. His love never changes. His power never fails. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God thinks totally opposite than we do. I mean, we don't look at weakness as anything but a defeat. But he says, my strength's made perfect. It's made perfect in whatever you may feel is a weakness in you. He said, give it to me, because I'm going to turn that into something strong. Amen. Anybody got a weakness today? Give it to the Lord, and he'll turn it into something strong. Ye shall be called trees of righteousness. And real quickly, I think I might be running out of time, Brother Johnson. I don't know. I read a little thing about trees. It was actually a study of a particular kind of tree, and it was called a loblolly pine. It was interesting to me because they had cut into this tree. The tree was 62 years old. It's almost as old as me. Oh, I'm not that old yet. Wait a minute. And they cut into this tree, and if you know anything about trees, when you can look at a tree and you can see that it's strong and you know that it has roots and you know that it's been there for years, but a lot of times we take all that for granted. We really don't know about that tree particularly. Well, they cut into this tree, and then you've probably seen it. When you see a tree cut, a slab like that, you see rings in that tree. And those rings tell a story about that tree. Each spring and summer, a tree adds new layers of wood to its trunk. The wood formed in the spring grows fast and is lighter because it consists of large cells. In summer, the growth is slower and the wood has smaller cells, and those rings are darker. So when the tree is cut, the layers appear alternating in light and dark. How many have ever seen that? You see light rings, dark rings. Those dark rings tell you how old that tree is. If you count them, it's pretty interesting. You count those rings and it'll tell you just how old that tree is. Water break. But as you count those dark rings and you know how old the tree is, it tells the story about this loblolly pine. It was planted in 1925. And so it shows that the tree grew rapidly with no disturbance. Little babies. I was thinking little Paris. Just a little sapling, little tree. And it grows quickly with no disturbance. And there's an abundance of rainfall and sunshine in the spring and the summer. Awesome days. awesome days. And the rings are relatively broad and evenly spaced. All seems to be perfect. And then it goes to 1930 when the tree was 6 years old. Something pushed against it and it made it lean. And so the rings are now wider on the lower side of the tree as it builds and as the wood grows. And so it tries to help support itself. And so it is, something has happened, whether it's wind or whatever that came to it, it pushed against this little tree and caused a growth as the tree began to grow inside. The rings began to change and misform. And in 1940, I don't know how they can tell all this, but they look at the tree and they say, about 1940, the tree is growing straight again. But its neighbors are growing too, and their crowns and their root systems take too much of the water and the sunshine from the tree that it needs. It's kind of sapping everything from that little tree. 1943, it moves ahead 3 years. The surrounding trees are harvested. They're all cut down. And the larger trees are removed, and there is once again an ample nourishment of sunlight. And the tree can now grow rapidly again. And in 1946, a fire sweeps through the forest. And fortunately, the tree is only scarred, and year by year, the more and more the scar gets covered over. The scar gets covered over more and more by as the years pass. Covered, and new wood is formed. And in 1958, they look at this tree, and these narrow rings on the tree, they have been caused by a prolonged dry spell. There's little narrow rings. And that tells a story about what has happened to that. There's been a dry spell. Anybody ever had a dry spell? And in 1973 was the last year that it says, and it looks like maybe some insects maybe had an infestation into the tree. My point today is, I'm talking about trees of righteousness. The Lord said, I'm appointing unto you in Zion those that mourn, those that have been through the fire and you've been through the floods. Some of the older ones, you know, and maybe if you're younger, you've already experienced like that one. At 6 years old, it said something came and pushed against that tree. But for a promise to the trees that are in Zion today, to those of you in Sandwich that sit on these pews, a message to you is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. And he comes, he says, I'm going to make you trees of righteousness, amen, for his glory. And Lauren, last night when you sang that song, it says, when I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. And when I go through the river, I will not be drowned. And when I am in the fire, I will not feel the flame. I stand before the giant, and he does not have the victory, but I have the victory. Aren't you thankful for God's promise to the trees of righteousness today? I'm so thankful for that today. He is a good God. He is a good God. He loves everybody on these pews today. I'm so thankful for the trees of righteousness and Sandwich. If you'd all stand, we're going to go into a time of prayer before we get into the second part of our service. And I am looking forward to the Word of God and what he's going to say into each and every heart. Sandwich, I talked about family. You're our family. You're our family. And who would have known that a little girl on Center Street in Granite City would meet a boy from Elkhart, Indiana, and that little sapling grows up and takes her to a place that I don't think she ever heard of and I never heard of. But it's an awesome place. And God has each and every one of you in his hand today. I'm so thankful for that. Let's praise him, and let's go and find a time of prayer before we get into our second service. God bless each and every one of you today.
testing. Praise the Lord. Let us